that was a life-changing experience for those students who got to help design that experiment and send it up to space and get the University of Idaho name onto the International Space Station.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Vandal Theory, a podcast about science and research at the University of Idaho. I'm your host for the day, Kyle Faunensteel, Media Relations Manager here at U of I. I'm joined by my co-host and longtime podcast host, Lee Cooper.
Hi, everyone. Lee Cooper here, science writer and editor here at U of I.
Thanks, Lee.
Oh, absolutely. Get to talk space. Exciting.
I thought you'd be excited about this one. Today, we're going to talk about an interesting field of research. It unites doorknobs, biomedical implants, and space. We'll get to that in a little bit. But first, Lee, I have a question for you. If you could send something into space, what would you send?
Oh, goodness. I first go to, like, something funny, like a Captain America Funko Pop toy. But, like, in reality, I really actually liked the idea of the Golden Record. It was sent up with Voyager, and it was put together by a committee headed by Carl Sagan, which is, you know, just awesome because, you know, he's hero status. And it contained, like, all these natural sounds of, like, whales and wind and things from the Earth and a whole bunch of people speaking in different languages. And, like, that's just... and like music as well from like a bunch of different groups and different like, you know, places around the globe. Like, I just thought that was like, what a wonderful way of introducing ourselves to, you know, aliens or something. So that's what I would send into space.
Wait, did they leave the record for aliens to find?
I think, oh goodness, let me read here just a second. Carl Sagan says, the spacecraft will be encountered and the record played only if there are advanced space-faring civilizations in interstellar space. So it's out there, floating about. Or found, who knows?
Well, I need to take a look at what's on this record. And start thinking about what we'd put on there if we sent one now.
The newest TikToks, obviously. TikTok dance challenges.
Exactly. Unfortunately, I have a way more boring answer. I'm not really sure what I'd send, but I guess I'd like to brush my teeth in zero gravity. So maybe just send myself and a toothbrush, I guess. Luckily, though, our guest today has a much more interesting example. He and a group of researchers, including elementary students, sent objects into space to see how germs stuck to them. Matt Bernards is an associate professor in University of Idaho's Department of Chemical and Biological Engineering. He's also the NASA Idaho Space Grant Consortium Director. He's focused on finding ways to reduce bacteria transmissions on surfaces in many different applications. He hopes that his work will reduce disease, make medicine work better, and even make space travel safer. Are you ready?
Oh yeah, blast off.
Hi Matt, thanks for coming on the show.
Hi, Kyle. It's a pleasure to be here.
We've got a lot to unpack today. But to start, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you got into this line of work?
Absolutely. So my name's Matt Bernards, and I'm faculty in chemical engineering here at the University of Idaho. And I got into the line of doing biomedical materials research way back in graduate school when I decided to pursue my PhD. Prior to going to graduate school, I was a very traditional chemical engineer working in the oil refining industry. And after an experience in industry, I decided I wanted to go back and join a different field, completely different than oil refining, and thought, what better way to make an impact than to go into biomedical applications of chemical engineering?
Those are some pretty big words. Could you break down what that looks like? And what kind of research questions you try to answer?
Biomedical engineering is really just applying math and science and chemistry to try and solve medical-related issues for human healthcare and beyond. What we do in my lab is we try to develop polymeric materials that are very useful in medical devices, from sensors to do disease diagnostics, to drug delivery vehicles, encapsulation vehicles, as well as materials that control how the body interacts with the material itself.
What called you to the biomedical world?
The biomedical world called to me because it is so rapidly evolving and transforming and leading to new innovations, but also with a major impact for the worldwide population. So a breakthrough in the biomedical world could really help millions of people in terms of their healthcare, in terms of their longevity, in terms of their quality of life. And so I just saw this as a great opportunity to make that type of impact.
So what's the big picture of your research?
My research is focused around developing new chemistries that control how biological species interact with the material surface. So we work with polymeric biomaterials, and polymers are really just plastics. Ours are soft and stretchy, more so than many of the hard plastics that people are used to. But what makes our polymer materials unique is that they prevent biological species from binding to them. This includes proteins from the body, bacteria species, as well as cells. And the prevention of biological interactions is very important for a wide variety of biomedical applications. One good example is in drug delivery. If a patient were to take a pill or have a pill be injected into their bloodstream, the body recognizes that pill as being a foreign object, and the body's immune response kicks on and it clears that drug delivery vehicle from the body. It sees it as a foreign object and wants to protect the body. However, that detection process takes place because the biological species can bind to the surface of the drug delivery vehicle, and our polymers, we believe, will prevent those interactions, which will allow the drug delivery vehicle to circulate for longer term in the body, that will allow the medicine to be delivered longer term and lead to better patient outcomes. Another very important application of this is in bacteria transmission. And so there's always a danger when you have a medical device implanted in the body that bacteria could be present on that biomedical device and be then put into the body during a surgical or medical procedure. Our materials that we've developed have been shown to prevent bacteria adhesion, and we believe that this will help prevent bacteria transmission during medical procedures.
So broadly, you're working to make medicine and medical interventions work better.
Yes, absolutely. So very broadly speaking, we really want to improve the biomedical devices or the medicine delivery or the biosensor technology to make it more effective at its end use application.
Could you walk us through some recent research projects or publications you've worked on?
Absolutely. So our lab has been developing these materials, for example, in preventing bacteria adhesion. And we recently had a project where we worked with a local elementary school to evaluate three different chemistries that we were considering to prevent bacteria adhesion. And we created a citizen science project where kids in grades 3 through 5 were given a random sampling of our polymers, and they were asked to swab a surface in their house and expose the polymer material to the potential bacteria that they had throughout their house. And then they were allowed to grow that bacteria on the different polymer materials for 30 days, at which point in time they reported back to our team which of their polymers had the most bacteria growth and the least bacteria growth. Our lab assembled all of that data and used it to select two different chemistries that we sent to the International Space Station in an effort to see how microgravity impacts bacteria adhesion to our polymeric coatings. The experiment that was sent to the International Space Station was designed by a team of our chemical engineering undergraduate students who designed the entire experiment from concept through the data collection at the end of the experiment. And our goal was to prevent bacteria transmission from hand to surface and from surface to surface on the International Space Station, with, of course, a number of potential applications back here on Earth as well.
That's really exciting. I don't know how many college students get the chance to send something into space. What did you learn from that project?
You're absolutely right. That was a life-changing experience for those students who got to help design that experiment and send it up to space and get the University of Idaho name onto the International Space Station. What we learned, it wasn't all positive results, of course. No research project is. But we did see a significant reduction in bacteria adhesion to aluminum in the microgravity environment compared to bacteria adhesion to the same types of surfaces here on Earth. We did see that our chemistry showed promise, but we also learned a lot in terms of our coating techniques and ways to enhance and improve that coating technique. That has actually led to a project we're currently working on where we're redesigning that experiment with hopes of sending our next payload to the International Space Station sometime in 2024.
That's pretty awesome. Vandals in space? So besides sending things into space, what excites you about this research?
I'm really excited by this research because, again, of the potential to impact life here on Earth. If we could develop coatings that prevent bacteria transmission from things like door handles and drawers and things of that nature, then we could really have an impact on the spread of disease throughout Earth, throughout our day-to-day lives, and that could really lead to improvements in human health. I'm also very excited by the possibility of enhancing human health in a variety of other ways. We've talked a little bit about drug delivery opportunities and biosensor opportunities. And if we can prove out our technologies, we think we'll really be able to have an impact in these areas and help patients both detect diseases earlier and hopefully provide new treatment methods that will lead to improved recoveries, faster recoveries, and better quality of life.
So it sounds like the big picture is about building a better world, where medicine works better and biomedical implants work better. You also run the Idaho NASA Space Consortium. Why does your research span these different areas, and where does it overlap?
That's a great question, Kyle. I think the example that we've talked about in terms of preventing bacteria adhesion is a great overlap between life in space and life on Earth. Bacteria follows us everywhere we go. There's bacteria on our bodies. Bacteria leads to a number of diseases around the world. And as we continue to explore and expand our presence in space, the bacteria is following us into space. One of the big overlaps is prevention of bacteria transmission and reduction of bacteria transmission to keep our astronauts healthier, to keep all of us here on Earth healthier, really just the opportunity to help improve health and longevity for a variety of different environments.
How are these lessons applicable in different ways in the biomedical world and in space? Are you shifting to entirely new ways of looking at issues? Or are they just different environments to study the same issues?
I think it's a combination of different environments, as well as different ways to develop the materials. So for our space-based application, we're very targeted on stainless steel-based materials because that's what's used in the water processing system on the International Space Station. However, in the biomedical world, we have a number of different materials that we use for implants, and so adapting our chemistry to different materials, whether it be a titanium knee replacement or perhaps even an advanced biomedical sensor that has a variety of different chemistries. And that's where a lot of the research and the innovation comes into our efforts, is understanding and developing new ways to apply our chemistry and our coating to different surfaces, different materials, different applications, or developing our chemistry for standalone applications where it's not coated onto something. For example, there's a lot of interest in trying to develop implants that would allow the body to heal and regrow through that implant in what's known as tissue regeneration. And we're working with excellent collaborators here at the University of Idaho to see if our materials might help guide the development of new approaches for tissue regeneration. And so really just the different environments, applications, approaches is what leads to new challenges every day for my research team.
Can you talk to us more about what sorts of materials you work with and what you're doing with them?
Sure. So we work with a group of polymers referred to as polyamphalite polymers. And really, that's just a fancy chemistry term for saying that we take positively charged monomers and negatively charged monomers, and we mix those two species together to create an overall neutral polymeric material. And for those listeners who don't know, monomers are essentially the base units of a polymer. A polymer is just a long chain of repeat monomer units. And so our group works with a couple different commercially available positively and negatively charged monomers, and we try to manipulate the chemistry and control the chemistry so that we get our resistance to interactions with biological species, but also it gives us approaches for tailoring the mechanical properties of our material. It gives us different ways to try and do coatings or three-dimensional materials for various applications.
What impacts do you hope your research will have on the world and our lives?
We hope to, at the end of my career, say that we improved human health through at least one application, hopefully multiple applications, by either reducing bacteria in a widespread commercial application, whether it be through the development of a new approach for delivering drugs, again, with the goal of that commercial application, but really just knowing that we helped advance science and continue to improve human health in the area of these biomedical polymers.
What do you think is important for the public to understand about your work?
I think it is important for the public to recognize that we're doing this amazing, groundbreaking research here at the University of Idaho that really could have the potential to impact millions of people across the planet if the innovations and the techniques prove out in large-scale environments. I think it's important for the public to know that we're doing this great innovative work here at the University of Idaho with a combination of both undergraduate and graduate students, and we really hope to push the forefront of innovation in this area of biomaterials to control how biological species interact with our material platform.
What's U of I's role in your research field?
Well, I work with a great group of collaborators here at the University of Idaho across multiple departments, and I think it's really that collaborative, interactive environment where we're all bringing different pieces, different approaches to the puzzle that is really going to lead to some transformative breakthroughs in the area of biomedical research. And that spans engineering, as well as science, as well as physics and biology.
Well, thank you so much, Matt. We really appreciate your time.
Not a problem, Kyle. It was a pleasure talking with you today.
Well, Lee, what did you think?
I don't want to make it sound like I'm going to downplay the medical side of things, because obviously that's going to be incredibly beneficial for patients and reduce the risk of infections and things like that. But what I want to talk about has to do with, honestly, the fact that I wanted to be an astronaut when I was 4 years old. I thought going to the moon was amazing. My hero was Neil Armstrong, and I wanted to be an astronaut. And I realized, you know, as you grow up, like, that it probably actually wasn't for me. I get car sick, let alone math was not my favorite subject ever when I didn't want to be a pilot. And the math thing also kind of limited the fact that building a rocket was probably not my going to be my cup of tea. And that's kind of like what I thought all of NASA did. You were either an astronaut or you built a rocket. And he just, his work shows that there are just one of many examples I've seen over the years of the types of research and types of jobs you can have with a group like NASA exploring space and exploring, you know, the outer limits of the Earth and how you can be involved in, you know, space travel. And it's just amazing to me how many types of jobs, types of interest, types of science that go into this type of work. And honestly, I kind of wish I had known that growing up. I think that would have been maybe I would have gone into it. Who knows? But like, you know, it's always good to know your options. And space is just so amazing.
It was really neat to see how he's doing so many different things, going from the biomedical world to space, and that he came from a different background before entering this field. I take that as a good reminder that the path to whatever you want to do isn't necessarily as linear as we think it is. I also loved when he's talking about how diverse his research is. He's able to quickly pivot back to the big picture, about how his work is to help build a better world. Well, thank you, Lee, and thank you all for listening to The Vandal Theory. You can visit us at our website at uidaho.edu to learn more about our research. Email us at vandaltheory@uidaho.edu. We are on all the podcast platforms. Please rate, review, and subscribe. I'm Kyle Fauna and Steele.
And I'm Lee Cooper.
Thanks for listening.